Welcome to GhostBiz here on Nova 103.5 on the Business Report. I'm Gary Struble. Every week I get to talk to the finance guys to catch up on what's going on in the big business news in our area. So, Ghost, welcome back to the show. Let's start out with a marriage that's been a while happening, and that is Sanlam acquiring Assupol. Assupol listed on the Cape Town Stock Exchange, interestingly, one of the few listings that the Cape Town Stock Exchange has managed to do, so not good news for them. But give us an update on that transaction.
Hello, Gary and all the listeners. Yes, nice place to start. Sanlam, they've been pretty busy on deals, haven't they? I mean, that group is just this big giant. It's just swallowing up a lot of other things. It's like corporate Pac-Man. And that little yellow thing eating up all the dots has been very busy with Assupol recently, along with other stuff. And the Assupol deal is now effectively unconditional, which means that all of the conditions have been met. So it will now go ahead. And Assupol is basically being swallowed up into Sanlam's retail mass cluster. So this is just them buying market share ultimately and market access, something that Sanlam has been doing with various recent transactions. Assupol has been around forever. The business is 110 years old. So that's a pretty decent track record, I think. And currently listed on the Cape Town Stock Exchange. So that listing will go away. Not great news for the Cape Town Stock Exchange. They don't exactly have a lot of listings, but it is what it is. So yeah, just a good example of a financial services group doing these sort of bolt-on acquisitions and growing in the process. Sanlam has a great track record with doing this kind of stuff. And, you know, they themselves have been around forever and growing almost every single year, other than when COVID caused some hassles. So not an unusual deal for Sanlam, and I think quite a decent one.
Lots of results coming out, and another company that released results, another holdings company, African Rainbow Capital, 8.5% net asset value growth. Some exciting stories in there. Time Bank specifically starting to look like that might have been a winner after early concerns in the first year or two of investment of huge capital being poured into it. Still lots of money going into Rain. But it seems like the tide is turning for a fund that for a long time was under a lot of pressure. Tell us a little bit more about those results.
African Rainbow Capital's really had two issues since the beginning. The first one is that they took a very diversified approach to the portfolio, which means that investors were suddenly invested in a whole bunch of things, entirely a spray and pray approach, as opposed to actually building out something coherent and sensible. And the market doesn't love that. And the second issue is that the management incentivization program just made it way too easy for the management team to make a fortune at the expense of shareholders for really mediocre performance. Now, recently, they've changed the way the incentivization works, but it is still far too easy for them to make a fortune, as evidenced by the fact that in the past year, the intrinsic net asset value per share, or INAV per share, was up by about 8.5%. That's less than you'll get on a South African government bond. And yet the company has had to raise a substantial provision to pay the management team on top of their fixed management fees. So something is still wrong there. But if we look deeper into the portfolio, Time Bank is definitely the focus area at the moment. It achieved break even in December 2023, and they say it's en route to sustained profitability, which means profitability has probably been quite patchy since then. It's typical for a startup. Big fair value gains on that asset, but I do think that Time Bank is the jewel in their crown. Rain, that's been getting a lot of attention online around whether or not the valuation is actually reasonable. Yes, it's making 2.5 billion rand in EBITDA, but you know, no word on net profit, and they've gone and recognized some pretty big fair value gains there as well. I've got to say that the telecoms industry is not exactly the most lucrative place to play, let's be honest. You just have to look at the share prices of the competitors in that space. So I think Time Bank is probably the more interesting piece of the business. And their headache is the Crops asset, that's KROPZ, and that required an additional 600 million rand in support in this period, which is way more than they put into Rain or Time. So that's very much a drag on the portfolio at the moment. That would have hurt their overall performance. Maybe that thing will work out in the end. They do seem to be pouring lots of good money after bad there. But more than that, the frustration remains that it's just way too easy for the management team to make a fortune from performance that is just nowhere near good enough.
Some interesting information in your most excellent Ghost Bites newsletter that comes out every week. You can go to ghostmail.co.za and subscribe to one of a number of different newsletters that come out and information pieces. But it was around gem fields. Now, much of the Namibian economy over the last 40 years or so has been built off the back of gems, off diamonds. Debmarine and Namdeb, two big De Beers partnerships that have contributed enormously to the growth of the economy. But of late, diamonds have come under some pressure, perhaps a world glut, perhaps a fashion that's starting to shift, perhaps also an impact on lab-grown diamonds starting to have a dissipating effect on the value of natural diamonds. But those were all sort of contained in the story around gem fields. Tell us a little bit more about what's going on there.
I've been waiting for the macroeconomic headwinds that have hurt the diamond industry to finally arrive at the emeralds and rubies produced by gem fields. And it hasn't really happened until now. I think the latest auction shows that finally the emeralds are not immune from this. Now, they don't really have the same lab-grown problem that the diamonds do, at least not to my knowledge. I haven't seen anything about that online. And what they do have is the challenges of the general macroeconomic environment out there. And what this means for not just luxury stuff, but that sort of affluent jewelry. And I think therein lies the problem is a lot of this jewelry is a luxury product trying to be sold to an affluent market. And that affluent market is a lot less affluent than they were before interest rates went through the roof. So as interest rates do start to come down, and hopefully we'll see some of that with central bank activity this week, you know, that should maybe help, because the latest auction at Gemfields is not great at all. They actually pulled a number of the lots that were offered for sale because the prices, in their view, were just not sustainable. They achieved $4.47 per carat. That's ever so slightly better, actually, than what they achieved in March, which was $4.45. But you do have to be careful comparing auctions because the quality can vary. Either way, these numbers are miles down on what they managed in 2023, which was over $7 a carat. Or in 2022, when the world was buzzing and the interest rates were nice and low, that was $9 a carat. So you can see how the pricing has come off severely. It's literally halved since 2022 for their emeralds.
On the other end of that scale, and also with a product that the Namibian economy is highly dependent on, which is fishing, the Oceana Group saw dividends climb 50%. Some fantastic results in their half-year dividend. Give us an update on what's happening in our oceans.
Yeah, the half-year ended March was great. The dividend was up 50%, but it doesn't look like the full-year performance is going to be quite as exciting. They've released an 11-month update, and although they haven't given specific group-level financial guidance, they've given quite a lot of commentary around how the actual business is doing. And it's very much hit and miss, which I think is the reality for these fishing groups. They have a variety of investments. They operate in all kinds of things. You know, Oceana's well-known brand is Lucky Star, but they have a whole lot of other stuff. They have Daybrook in the US, which is fish meal and fish oil as well. They have the Wild Caught Seafood business, which is stuff like horse mackerel. You know, it's just a really, really diversified group. And all of these underlying products have different supply and demand factors at any point in time. Plus, they have to manage all the other stuff like catch rates, for example, which is not something that they are really in control of. You know, if the fish are not biting, they're not biting. If the weather has changed and this has impacted catch volumes, well, you know, that's what's happened. Other things that can impact results are things like the yield of fish oil, you know, how much fish oil they're actually getting from the fish that they do manage to get their hands on. Then they have other stuff like a major boat that had a mechanical failure and this impacted the horse mackerel volumes. Just so much that can go wrong and so much that can go right in any given year that it's a complete lottery. But it doesn't seem as though their interim period has continued into a really strong full year, because this wasn't a trading statement. And if it was a trading statement, it would have been because earnings had moved by more than 20%. Now, maybe that trading statement will still come for the full year, or maybe the second half of the year has been quite poor and has offset so much of the good stuff in the first half. At this point, we don't know. Unfortunately, they have left a fair bit of uncertainty here for everyone to think about. But it doesn't look like a terribly bullish outlook, or at least update at this point in time.
Right, Ghost, we'll get you back off to wherever it is, whatever halls you hang out in. Thank you for the updates this week. We'll chat to you again next week here on Ghost Biz.